The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What's the meaning of the outer darkness? That's what we're going to continue to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us for this question and answer episode of Grace in Focus. Yesterday, we began a discussion about the outer darkness, and we're going to continue it today. Now, before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about our National Bible Conference. If you like the kind of topics that we cover on this show, then you would love our National Bible Conference. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org. Click on events, and you can even register right there on the site. We look forward to seeing you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. In the last episode, we were talking about the outer darkness in answer to a question from Sean. And we didn't quite finish up. We probably need to go over the third use of outer darkness in the Gospels.
Yeah, and all three are found in Matthew. And the third one is Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It's called the parable of the talents. And a talent was a large sum of money. And the Lord was giving people different amounts in the parable of the talents. I should mention that the parable of the talents is a cousin parable or a parallel parable with the parable of the minas in Luke 19, 11 through 27, because they both discuss servants of Jesus. They both discuss three servants of Jesus. They both have two good servants and one bad servant. Mm-hmm. And they both have the third servant being rebuked. So it's helpful to us to be able to compare the two parables. Now, the parable of the talents is a little different in that in the parable of the talents, they're given different sums, five talents, two talents, one talent. In the parable of the minas, they're all given one mina. The Lord taught his various parables on more than one occasion, more right. than one context. Here's an example of where in the Matthew 25 passage, he's talking about believers who have three different levels of ability. And what's expected of the person with two talents is not the same as what's expected of the person with five talents.
Okay.
Because to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
But in the parable of the minas, since they all are given the same amount, the same is expected from all of them. I think what that illustrates is that we as believers are called to maximize our opportunities for Christ.
By the way, just to remind ourselves what Sean's question was, he basically wanted to know what is the outer darkness. That's why we're talking about the outer darkness.
And the third outer darkness passage is this parable of the talents.
Right. And so far we've said the outer darkness is not a place in the underworld. It's not even really a place in the sense of a specific area of the kingdom. It's just an illustration of experiencing shame and sadness of missing out on the rewards of Christ. And in the context of the parable, it's like someone getting kicked out of a party, and they feel really bad about being kicked out. And that's basically the kind of experience that unfaithful believers are going to have at the judgment seat of Christ when it turns out they miss out on ruling with Christ and other rewards.
Absolutely. Now, in the parable of the talents, you'll notice in Matthew 25:19. The Lord goes away, and then after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them.
Right.
Paul in Philippians 4:17 uses that word account to say that their giving to his gospel ministry was something that accrued to their account.
Right.
And here he's settling accounts. This is judgment seat of Christ truth. I think we all know that everlasting life is not a reward earned for work done.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Romans 4:4-5 makes that real clear. It's
right.
by grace, it's not by wages. But here we are actually looking at people who are being rewarded.
Yeah.
Now in verse 21, you had one person who went from five talents and he ended up with five more. So he
right.
doubled.
Right.
And the Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."
Yeah.
Now the second guy starts with two talents and he goes from two talents to four talents. He again adds two more. He also doubles. What we see in Matthew 25:23 is the exact same thing. The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So, the one who went from 5 to 10 receives the same level of reward as 2 to 4 because they both maximize themselves for Christ. Now we go to the third servant. And the third servant only comes back with what the Lord had given him. And he says, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping what you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. In other words, I knew you were holding me accountable for what I did with what you gave me. And so he said, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours.
And you know, by the way, this has always kind of struck me because this person has a pretty distorted view of his master.
He does.
A lot of people do have this distorted view of God. And that's what Jesus is describing here. Someone who thinks of his master as, you're a hard man.
Right.
Reaping where you've not sown. What does that even mean? It means taking other people's stuff and gathering where you've not scattered seed. It's like, this is a very distorted view of.
I think we can gather from this that there is a certain amount of risk in serving Christ in the sense that if we teach wrongly, then yeah. We're held accountable for that, James 3:1. If we are giving money to things we shouldn't be giving money to,
right.
2 John, we're told that if you're involved in supporting false teachers, then you're sharing in their evil works.
Right, right.
So obviously, it's possible to do things in an effort to serve the Lord which are wrong and which are going to result in rebuke. But guess what? It's absolutely guaranteed that if you do nothing for Christ,
right.
You're going to be rebuked.
Right. This guy's rebuked for doing nothing. It would have been better for him to do anything than nothing.
I'm not suggesting this man did no good works whatsoever. What I'm suggesting is this man was not a faithful servant of Christ. It doesn't mean that he never showed love to his spouse or to his children or whatever. But he didn't bring a return on his talent. Mm. And so as a result, what the Lord says in Matthew 25:26, you wicked and lazy servant. Well, you remember what he called the first two servants? Good and faithful.
Yeah.
Well, the opposite of good is bad or wicked, mm-hmm. And the opposite of faithful is lazy. You know that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So he's saying, you know I'm going to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Now, we're not sure exactly what that means, giving your money to bankers, but that probably means if you weren't going to be out there and actively sharing your faith, and you weren't going to be out there actively discipling others,
yeah.
At least you could have given your money to a local okay. assembly that would be proclaiming God's word, that would be out there discipling people and evangelizing people. And because you didn't do that, well, you're going to have your talent taken from you and given to the one who has 10. And so the guy with 10 gets a bonus reward. And then he says, cast the unprofitable servant into the darkness outside. There will be weeping and gnashing of
right.
teeth.
And you said this isn't a literal place. It isn't a place in the underworld. It's not a place in the kingdom. It's not a penalty box. It's not like jail.
This is missing out on ruling with Christ. And of course, even when you think of the first two servants, they're both going to rule. So this one's not going to rule. And the talent that's given over suggests more rulership for the one guy.
And by the way, so the talent is not like treasure. The talent that's given to the servants is kind of like an ability to serve. And then they're rewarded by getting an even greater ability to serve, right?
Right. What we do now determines what we will do then.
So
how much we serve Christ now makes it possible for us to serve him more later.
And I think, you know, that's a concept people need to grasp about eternal rewards. These are opportunities to serve Jesus, to serve the King of Kings. Let's say you could have the opportunity to be the guy who's like the personal chef for Jesus, or someone who gets to like wash his feet, and you get to be with Jesus every single day doing those things.
Right.
Wouldn't you want to have the opportunity to serve him in that
Absolutely.
Way?
Absolutely.
I mean, people should. I think people would understand, yeah, I want to be with Jesus. I want to serve him as much as possible. Well, that's your reason for living a faithful life to get these quote unquote eternal rewards, is because those eternal rewards our chances to serve Jesus.
Yes, and I think we can close with the parable of the minas because it's parallel. And in the parable of the minas, again, he goes away and he comes back. But what happens in the parable to Mina is he also introduces the enemies of Jesus who hate him and don't want him to rule over them, and they're different than the servants. And what happens is, in Luke 19, 16 through 26, we look at the three servants.
Now, this isn't an outer darkness passage.
No.
This just happens to be
it's parallel
to the other outer
darkness. Right. But when we see the third servant here, it helps us understand the third servant in Matthew. The first servant goes from 1 to 10, and the Lord says, "Well done, good servant." And then he says, "You've been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." The second one goes from 1 to 5, so he's only half-hearted. He should have gone from 1 to 10. And the Lord doesn't say, "Well done" to him. He just says, "You also be over 5 cities," Luke 19, 19.
Yeah.
So he's going to rule, but he doesn't have the full approval of the first servant.
Right.
The third servant says the same thing that the guy over in Matthew 25 said, and then the Lord judges him. And the Lord takes his mina and gives it to the one who has 10 cities, so it's a bonus city for him. But then, verse 27, it says, "But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me." Clearly, the third servant is not one of the enemies of Jesus who's slain.
Yeah, he's losing something, but he's not losing his life. He's not slain.
Right.
Yeah.
And the slaying refers to the second death of being cast into the lake of fire. And by the way, when he says, "Bring here those enemies of mine," that suggests that they're not at the judgment seat of Christ. Mm. They have to be brought there, and there's actually 1,000 years between Luke 19:26 and Luke 19:27. Many commentators notice the third servant is not one of the enemies who are slain, that the third servant represents an unfaithful believer. If he's an unfaithful believer in the parable of the minas, he's also an unfaithful believer in the parable of the talents. They're parallel parables. I would suggest that you read, we've got a whole book on the outer darkness, don't we?
Yeah, what is the outer darkness?
What is the outer darkness?
Yeah.
So you might want to check that out. And we have articles on the outer darkness on our website. So just check it out. But great question, Sean.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to discuss the kind of belief that the people of Nineveh had when Jonah preached. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.